This week's edition of Reporting Religion with Trevor Barnes.
This week, will the explosions that killed nearly 200 pilgrims in Iraq ignite religious hatred between Sunni and Shia Muslims? There was terror and death on the streets of Kabul this week as Shia Muslims in Iraq celebrated one of the holiest days of their religious calendar.
People are fleeing through the streets in panic. I saw a couple of people who appeared to be injured, whether that was from bomb debris. If I could see somebody now being carried in a makeshift stretcher made out of a blanket, rushed through the streets.
Choosing the festival of Ashura to detonate bombs that killed over 180 people struck at the very heart of the faith and couldn't have been more deliberately provocative. Ashura marks the day Imam Hussein, grandson of the Prophet Muhammad, was killed in battle nearly 1400 years ago, and as such it should have been a day of solemn emotion. Not only that, but this is the first year Shiite Muslims have been able fully to mark the anniversary since it was heavily suppressed under Saddam Hussein. Sayyid Mehdi al-Modarresi, whose father was preaching when the bombs exploded, but who was uninjured, is a distinguished Iraqi Shiite cleric, educated in the United States and now living in Australia. He's been reflecting on the religious fallout from the attacks in Karbala.
Remember that Imam Hussein is the grandson of the Prophet of Islam. So for someone to actually go to Karbala and to kill these men, women, and children that were there basically to visit their master and their leader, Imam Hussein. I was in Karbala a few months back, and you could see people, they enter the shrine and the mausoleum of Imam Hussein, they touch the walls of the mausoleum, they kiss the pathway leading into his tomb, they touch the cage, they hold on to it, and they call out his name, they cry. People were there to pray, to remember the tragedy, and to mourn that event. For someone to come and perpetrate this most heinous crime, to kill over 200 people and to injure so many, they would really have to have a sinister and malicious belief to do that. And so I think the motives behind those attacks were more political than religious.
In choosing to attack the holiest site of Shia Islam, is there the tendency that this will make people resist and fight back all the stronger, or will they be cowed?
Well, I think we're not going to have a civil war in Iraq. The first reason is that everyone seems to be under the impression that it is mainly foreign radical agents that have come into Iraq illegally and that are carrying out these attacks. Obviously, those agents could not have done what they did without the help, the tactical as well as logistical support of local remnants of the old regime. There is great resentment within the hearts of the Shiites in Iraq because of the sensitive nature of the site where the attacks took place, as well as the day on which it took place, the month in which it took place. The month of Muharram is a month that where fighting is outlawed even before the revelation of the Islamic faith. And yet for people to come and commit these crimes, there is a great amount of resentment within people's hearts. But I think most of the blame is being put on foreign radical groups rather than local people.
Are there voices of, if you like, religious moderation strong enough to be heard?
Well, yes, but I think we also need to understand that Iraqis have been deprived from the ability to practice their rituals for a long time. Especially during the Saddam regime, for 30 years, they were not allowed to visit Imam Hussein, they were not allowed to mourn his death, they were not allowed to express grief and have an outpour of emotion. And so moderation is obviously, within the Shia faith, is a pillar of our religion. There is extremism in every faith, in every denomination. Within the Shia faith, there is much more understanding, I believe, than you know, within these small radical groups.
Well, Sayyid Mehdi al-Modarresi, stay with us for the moment, because I'm also joined in the studio here by Dr. Maha Azam, an expert on Islamist movements worldwide. It's important to remember that the attacks in Iraq weren't the only ones on the holy day of Ashura. There was an attack in the Pakistani city of Quetta, which claimed 20 lives or possibly more. Do you see a pattern?
There does seem to be a pattern between the two horrific incidents, and it has something of the hallmarks of the work of Al-Qaeda or a group such as the Qaeda, because we have to remember that there are different groups now that have taken up the strategy and the tactics of Al-Qaeda, and that is why they're very difficult to control, and they do aim to attack soft targets. I think the incident in Karbala was meant to create friction and create in the future sectarian violence, and I think that was the agenda perhaps of its perpetrators, and that is the greatest fear.
Well, clearly this was an act of provocation at the very least. What would individuals have to gain from this total disorder, some have forecast even civil war?
I think the agenda of those who carried out such an attack is exactly to create that kind of crisis situation. They want to breed hatred between the two communities, and as we've heard earlier, they may not succeed, because I think the Shia community is aware that those who foment this kind of violence may be forces that have come from outside Iraq and do not really have the support of even the Sunni elements in Iraq.
Because the irony is that under Saddam, that under a Ba'athist regime, there was this suggestion that at least everyone's sectarian differences could be submerged beneath some sort of national identity.
Indeed, there was an emphasis on the Iraqi nation and on the unity of the state, and an emphasis on the secular nature of the state. Not that that was necessarily a good thing, because under that guise, the suppression of the Shias and other groups took place. I think it's also important to remember the place of Imam Hussein to the Sunnis as well, to the Sunni community within Iraq and in the wider Muslim world. The place of Imam Hussein may not be commemorated in the same way as it is by the Shia community, but certainly his place is held in high esteem among the among Sunnis.
Let's return to you, Said Mehdi Al-Madarasi. Do you, when you return to Karbala in a month's time, expect to see any signs of hope?
Well, we always have hope, and I'm very much looking forward to the future, a very prosperous Iraq. What the scholars and the religious leadership in Iraq are calling for at the moment is for sovereignty to be handed over to a legitimate elected Iraqi government. And I think what they're trying to say is that we can take care of our own security. The reason they're calling for an elected government is so that they could take responsibility for their own security. I mean, I remember one person was interviewed on the day of this tragic event in Karbala, and he said that even though these attacks were very much anticipated, the people did expect something like this to take place, yet we never saw a single coalition helicopter, for example, hovering over the city. We didn't see their troops trying to set up, for example, checkpoints or try to somehow limit the risk of such an attack taking place. So right now, people are getting angry with the way things are run, and they're saying that it's not too much to ask for democracy. We want that, and if that takes place, then we can take care of our own security, and I think that is very much possible.
Said Mehdi Al-Madarasi, and from the Royal Institute of International Affairs here in London, Dr. Maha Azam. You're listening to Reporting Religion from the BBC World Service.